He introduced me to her, but I'm one of these loudmouth hillbillies, and I introduced myself. And I got a pretty loud mouth, too. If you don't believe it, you ask them women down here that's seen in that Marion cabin. So now I would like to give you Elle Louise.
Thank you, Eleanor. I appreciate the introduction. It's nice to have Jane and Mary back me up here on the stage. And I understand they all have some friends out here who are going to clap from time to time. Appreciate all the help I can get. I need it. I do want to thank the committee for having invited me to be here. It's wonderful to be at your fifth annual Jackson's Mill, West Virginia Roundup. I tell you, Franklin and I haven't had such royal treatment in a long, long time. All these phone calls and letters to be sure that we were coming, that our reservations were okay, that our plane tickets were taken care of. We get here and we're given a suite at the lodge with maid service. Wow. Chauffeur to and from the airport. Pat and Emma so very graciously gave part of their time to pick us up, stop and feed us lunch on the way, and bless their hearts, they've even volunteered to take us back. Now, they may be trying to tell us something there. Nobody's asked us to stay. They've just made arrangements for us to get back. But having had a small part of some of these roundups in the local area from time to time, I know what a wonderful job your committee has done. I know how hard they must have worked because things have run so very smoothly. And I personally want to give the whole committee a hand. I'm Eloise, and I'm a drunk butterfly.
Hi.
I work both sides of the street. I'm a double winner. Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life. Al-Anon is teaching me how to live it. Here stands proof that living problems do not vanish after sobriety. Really, I thought I had it made when I became sober and I married another sober alcoholic, and I have his permission to say he's an alcoholic, though you've probably already heard him say it. I had waited so long for my ship to come in. I had dreamed of this beautiful life I was going to have. I waited so long for that ship to come in, my pier almost collapsed. And I'm going to tell you my story. The book suggests that we tell what we were like, what happened, and what we're like now. But it is great to see all of your smiling faces. I know that most of you must have left your troubles at home. I wanted to leave mine, but he was invited to be on the program too. I'd like to personally welcome you to this Al-Anon portion of the program, and hope that you will find here the love and friendship that I have been privileged to enjoy. I am glad to see what I consider to be so many AAs here. I know in this program, if you can't smell them, you can't tell them. But I feel sure there must be a good number of them here, and it makes me very happy. I know for a long, long time, when I was just in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't go to the Al-Anon portions of the roundups, the conventions. Well, who needed it? I was sober. And most of us AA women would go and take a nap. We suddenly become very sleepy during that time when the Al-Anons are going to talk. And the men go outside to the cars and they kick the tires, you know, and fling up the hood of the car and see if everything's going to be ready to go back home in 2 or 3 days. We find a lot of things to do except to go to Al-Anon speeches. And that was almost my downfall because I did not know what Al-Anon was. I had no conception of the beautiful program that it is, of the beautiful people that are in it. I thought that Al-Anons were just people who were married to AAs. I didn't know that you don't automatically become an Al-Anon by marrying an AA or the fact that your husband or your wife comes into AA. I thought the Al-Anons just brought the cookies. Well, you know, we'd come out of our AA meetings and there would be these Al-Anons with their little plate of cookies. And they were smiling. And I hated them. I thought they were smug. I thought they just never had a drinking problem. They didn't know what I had suffered. And I didn't know what in the hell they had to smile about. Their husband had lost everything he had. He'd been through all of that stuff. Who needs to smile, you know, with your damn little plate of cookies? I apologize to every one of you now. I was so wrong. I was so mistaken. I was so stupid is what I was. I didn't know that in order to be a real Al-Anon, you have to go to group meetings regularly. That you have to study this literature, study the 12 steps, the slogans, the serenity prayer, that you have to read the One Day at a Time book and practice all these things that you learn. I didn't know that you had three major goals for each member, to grow spiritually through living through those 12 steps, to give encouragement and understanding to the alcoholic, and to welcome and give comfort and enlightenment to the families of alcoholics. I didn't know that Al-Anon offers the priceless gift of serenity, which you achieve by your loving interchange of help among members. And when I speak of loving interchange, as far as I'm concerned, that means you love me enough to tell me what's wrong with me. Because I've always thought I was so perfect, and I've always been afraid you were going to find out I wasn't perfect. And the only way I can get honest and stay honest is for you to tell me that you know I'm bogus, I'm lying, or I'm doing it wrong. You Al-Anons learn to improve your attitudes and your personalities. You learn to reduce the tensions at home. And you learn not to overreact. And if there's a single alcoholic in this room who has never wanted his or her spouse to go to Al-Anon, by golly, you better find out what you're cheating yourself out of. Because this person who goes to Al-Anon is going to be a better person. It is a program of self-improvement. We learn to love without trying to interfere with or control anybody else that we love. We're part of a constructive program to achieve personal fulfillment and to live a new way of life. Well, as to what we were like back then, what I was like, I had to start my first real drinking when my first husband took off with a blonde. Dr. Silkworth has said that men and women drink essentially because of the effect of alcohol. That was what I wanted, was the effect. I wanted the escape. I wanted the oblivion. My world had crumbled around my feet. I couldn't stand to live in a world without that man. And all I knew to do was to drink. My drinking was very much like taking a blindfold cruise on a torpedo for several years. No way to get off. No way to stop. You hang on for dear life, but you keep going. You keep doing what you're doing. No way to get out of it. No way. Now, the Book of Alcoholics Anonymous suggests that our stories disclose in a general way what we were like. And I will take no issue with this book, which contains a suggested program for my recovery from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I do hear some comments that the women AAs have cleaned up their stories and wish to appear as pure as the driven snow. Well, meet driven snow. I have taken that step both in Alcoholics Anonymous and in Al-Anon, and I consider that I have discharged my responsibility to the past when I have admitted to myself, to God, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. And I don't think it needs to come from this podium. I don't think a podium is any place for that step. And I feel this way about it. I might be the first alcoholic Al-Anon you've ever seen. I know I am for some of you. You've already told me. And I don't want to get excited up here and be vulgar and be profane. I am both of those privately. But right now, I am so sold on this Al-Anon deal. And I want you to feel the way that I feel about it. And I hope that I'm not going to cuss or say something ugly. Now, as I said privately, if you've really got to hear all the bad words I know, meet me outside afterward and let me see. Mass is at 3:45, 4:45. Supper. Well, you be sure you have a lot of time. And if it's absolutely necessary to your sobriety to hear all the things I did when I was drinking, I'll tell you everything I remember doing if you tell me what you did first. You know, some of my Al-Anon friends say that they have done essentially the same thing that I and other women alcoholics did. And they say, we can't even claim the privilege of having been drunk. Oh my God, the privilege of having been drunk. Well, for so long, it was a privilege. It was a way to blot out, to black out what I considered failure, because I had been going to have the perfect marriage, you know. And it was a failure, and I couldn't admit to the world that I had failed. I never failed at anything in my life. And to just get drunk and not have to think about it, not have to face my friends, not have to face my little girl, not have to face anybody, it was a real privilege. But as you know, there comes that invisible line. And then it's no longer a privilege, it's an obsession. I had tried to live a fairy tale all my life. I had dreamed of this fairy tale. I think most little girls hear it. A lot of us discard it. A lot of us clasp it to our bosoms. You know, the one where the shiny knight on the white horse comes galloping by and he slays all the dragons and... kill that one. Weeps your way to the castle and he marries you. And you live happily ever after. That was my dream. That was what I had wanted to do. Of course, later I blamed my mama for giving that dream to me, and this was not true. In AA, I blamed mama for almost everything I did. In Al-Anon, I've had to admit, these things were my own ideas. Mama didn't say I had to grow up like that I had to believe all those things. Actually, my mama was a very realistic woman. And one of the few things she said to me in the way of teaching me about life, she said, honey, men are all alike. It's just that some of them have mustaches. So I can't blame my mama for any fairy tale living that I tried to do. I've got to blame myself. I know that all my life I was a lonely child, a lonely teenager. Oh, I felt so lonely and unwanted as a young woman. And it wasn't until I got into Al-Anon and started looking back and trying to dig out and scrape out the reasons that I found out my character defects and my personality were and are the cause of my loneliness. Nobody would want me around. I wouldn't have. And here I had thought I was so precious and so darling. And in AA, when anything went wrong, well, it was because of my drinking. They didn't like me because I spilled drinks on their rug or set my drink glass on their piano. It was because of my drinking. In Al-Anon, you ain't got that excuse. You have got to go it cold turkey, baby. And it hurts. But boy, you get a good feeling afterward. I have learned in Al-Anon that I am not a piece of junk. God don't make no junk. And I am a child of God. I'm not a mistake. And I can improve myself, Al-Anon says, if I do two things every day that I don't want to do. And if I do one good thing for somebody every day and don't tell it, don't brag about it. But back there when that first shiny knight took off after his blonde and I grabbed that bottle, oh my God, it was disaster. Eventually there came the time when you cross the invisible line, when there's no control over your drinking, when there's no control over your actions once you begin to drink. And I had heard that this thing called Alcoholics Anonymous in some way could help you. Well, I didn't want any help to quit drinking. Maybe none of y'all felt that way. I just wanted a little help in how to control it and how to get a little more to drink. I wasn't making very much on my job at that time. And I thought, well, now I'll just call these people and I'll go see what it is they've got going for them and things will be better. And I called them. They offered to come out, but I wasn't in too bad a shape that day. I had run out of whiskey. I went on in, and do you know, when they explained the program to me, and one part sank in, it said, we are self-supporting. And they wanted to sell me a book. And I thought, uh-huh. This is another gimmick for selling encyclopedias. It'll be just like it's a supermarket. You got to buy one volume this week, then you got to buy another volume the next week, and you've got to go from A through Z. I'll never make it. I don't have that much money. I can't drink and buy the books too. I just better go on back home. But they did convince me there was only the one book, and I bought it, and I went home and read it. And I hope that all of you here in this room have read it. This is not just his book or her book. It is a basic text for Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't care if you're AA or Al-Anon or Alatina, what you are, I don't think you know enough about the program unless you read this book. If he or she don't think you need to read it, go buy your own. As Franklin always tells them, go steal one. We've got a step down there. You can make amends for it later. Or get a hold of one. That just serves him right. You see, he told some of my jokes last night. This always happens when we're on the program together and he's first. So I'll just say a few of the things he forgot to say. But will those of you who are non-alcoholic remember? There's one line in this book that just crushes me. But the truth always did crush me. That line says, in speaking of we alcoholics, us alcoholics, it says, we're like men who have lost their legs. We never grow new ones. And this is what you have before you today, a person who's lost their legs, who never grew new ones. You see, when we sober up, when we're trying to live this AA program. We're acting in an unnatural manner. The natural thing for an alcoholic to do is to drink. And when you get two people under the same roof acting in an unnatural manner, sometimes you can have pure hell. I am not glad I'm an alcoholic. I never have been. But I am so grateful that Alcoholics Anonymous was there when I needed it. That these people who are called by some of the young and newer people, they're called bleating deacons. Well, I thank God the bleating deacons were there. I wouldn't have had anywhere to go if they hadn't been. And I don't think you younger ones would have had a place to go either. And oh my God, I have been so grateful that Al-Anon was there when I needed it. Because you see, what happened was, there in an AA meeting, I saw another shining knight on a white horse, and he said he would slay all the dragons and sweep me away to the castle, and we would be married, and we would live happily ever after. Now, most of you met him last night, but for the benefit of those who came in today, would my dragon please stand up? Because what happened was, in all my excitement and confusion, I didn't marry the shiny knight. I married the dragon. And with us two recovering alcoholics under the same roof, and my little girl from the previous marriage, well, it was just like putting me in charge of an alligator farm where the alligators were supposed to be on the honor system. Franklin was such a great manager. But you see, I already knew how to manage. And the kid was managing both of us, one against the other, plus her real daddy and her stepmother. She was just managing all over the place. I tried to get help from his mother. It seemed like his mother was the only person he would listen to, and I wrote her. Well, at this particular time, I know my daughter had a horse, and she loved that horse better than anything in the world. And that was her one way of seeking escape. She would just go out and race that horse around the countryside and at least get her frustrations and bad feelings out of her. And he knew that she loved it. And she would irritate him on purpose, I'm sure, but she'd irritate him to get a reaction, and she'd get it. He'd punish her. He'd tell her she couldn't ride the horse. And week after week, there was a four-footed thing I had to feed and all, and it wasn't getting ridden, and we were penned up in this house just about to kill each other. And I wrote his mother, and I said, Franklin's punishing Mickey. He won't let her ride the horse. Won't you ride him and talk to him and help him, make him behave? And you know, that blessed woman wrote back with the perfect solution that had not even occurred to me. She wrote back and said, if the horse is causing trouble, I think you'd better sell the horse. That wasn't the one I wanted to sell. Screamings and ravings and cursings had become the way of life at our castle. I'll tell you this one incident that really just tore me up. The little girl had become a teenager by then, and she irritated him as only a teenager can irritate a parent. And no apologies to the Alateens, because I know we irritate them too. But he had grabbed the child by the shoulders and was trying to bash her brains out against this wrought iron stairway that we have in the house. So I jumped on him from behind to choke him. I knew if I could kill him, he'd have to let her go. And I did. I choked him enough. He had to let her go. So she ran just skipping into the kitchen and came back with a big shiny butcher knife for Mama to kill him easier with. And I thought, oh my God, is this what sobriety is? Is this, I'd rather be drunk, I'd rather be dead. There's got to be something in the world than this. And along about then, a very good friend in Al-Anon that we had met at an AA convention with her husband, she knew me and she loved me all that time, even though she knew how sick I still was. And she says, now I'll never know how much guts it took for her to tell me, because I'm not an easy person to tell what you're supposed to do. But Singy said to me very quietly, Eloise, you need to go to Al-Anon. And I heard her. Now, she had shouted and raved and pounded at me. I would have tuned her out, because that was the way I was brought up, was to shout and rave and pound. And we tuned each other out at will, and the one who could shout and rave and pound the longest got her way, or his way. But she said it just that one time, very quietly, and I started to think about it. It does take me a long time to make up my mind. I have a lot of things to consider. Well, you can tell that right now I'm in the 10th year of my 14-day diet plan. It takes some of us longer than others. AA had been enough for me when I was single, but it was not enough for me when I was married to another alcoholic. And for heaven's sake, if Al-Anon isn't for families and friends of alcoholics, what is it for? But I knew I'd better go, because back there when we'd had the bashing butcher knife incident, I had done something I thought I never could do. Now, many times I had wished that he'd be in a car wreck on the way home and be killed. The thought had even crossed my mind a time or two that if I could poison him with some poison that would not show up and I wouldn't be blamed and sent to prison, that would be a good deal too. I bet none of you ever had those thoughts, did you? You hope he'll be killed on the way home, and then, my God, you're so glad when he walks in the door. Well, I wasn't even glad when he walked in the door. But back there with the choking and butcher knife incident, what I did was, well, you see, having each other arrested had become a way of life at our castle. And I don't think it was, we sort of took turns, but I don't think this was my turn to have him arrested. But I did. I honestly meant to have him put under a peace bond, honestly. But what I almost accomplished was, I almost sent that man to the state prison for 15 years at hard labor for assault and battery on a minor child. Things about myself, those things I was capable of, I knew I had better try something else. I thought I had tried everything in the world to make this living problem solve, to be happy, to be worthwhile, to do something in this world. But I hadn't tried Al-Anon. And I looked around at my friends that I had seen come into the Al-Anon program some years back, and they'd been crying and snubbing and all frog-eyed and
And there were those friends, and they were smiling, and they were happy. And it had to be Al-Anon. I knew that alcohol had never been my problem. It simply was a symptom of my problem. And we find that in the literature, too. Alcohol is the symptom of the problem. Now, I am not trying to say, you understand, everything I'm saying up here today is my own opinion. I'm not saying that these principles, these facts, this way to live was not in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It certainly is. I'm simply saying that I was too stupid to find it. I was not digging deep enough to find it. I'm not going to say anything about him. He can just tell his own thing. But I, at least, was not into the program deeply enough to realize that I was not working it properly. Because, you see, I was sober, and this was the thing that had been concentrated on to me. Sobriety comes first. Sobriety comes first. Well, my God, we had sobriety, and what did we have? We were killing each other. And I couldn't stand it. But you, Al-Anon, that I knew and knew well because I'd met you at roundups and conferences, and you'd taken time like you have this weekend to come up and talk to me, to tell me about your group, to tell me about problems that you've solved in your life or attitudes you've been able to change. And I'm so grateful for every one of you. But my friends would tell me about themselves, and I realized every one of you Al-Anons came into this program because you love somebody enough you wanted to find out what to do. Now, I came into AA and stayed because I knew deep down it was the only way to save my life. I knew I had one alternative, and that was 6 feet under. But you, Al-Anon, well, golly, you didn't have that. But you loved somebody enough that you wanted to change things, even if it meant changing yourself. And that is what it meant. And this is why I hope if there's anybody with a halfway house or an institutional program or even with an AA group that does not have an Al-Anon group, for heaven's sake, go and get an Al-Anon group started. It was decided long before my time that this is a family illness. Give the family a chance to get well. Get some Alateen sponsors. Get some Alateen groups started. These kids, you know, we spend our years drinking, the spouse is drinking, and I mean, one of us is drinking and the spouse is chasing after him or her, and the kids are left here or left there or put someplace. Then we sober up, and what do? We're still going to our meetings, or the kids come home, there's somebody in the kitchen with a cup of coffee they've never seen before, and this is not the normal thing for a child. It is not a normal young adulthood. Give all of us a chance. Let's have some more Al-Anon. Let's have some more Alateen. There's no way to keep AA from growing because people are going to keep coming in to save their lives. But they do say for every person who has a drinking problem, there are four other people whose lives are touched and who need help. I did join Al-Anon, and I'm so proud now to be a member of the Holiday City Al-Anon Family Group in Memphis, Tennessee. It's a noon group that we have there where I work, and it was started with the help of some Alateens, Al-Anons. I call them old Al-Anons, and you better believe I know what I mean when I say old Al-Anons. They are ones who have some length of time in the program. They are the ones who are steady, who stick to our purpose, who absolutely tolerate no outside issues when we're having our meeting. If anybody wants to talk or sew or whatever they do, they can do it before the meeting, they can do it after the meeting. They ain't going to do it during the meeting. We stick to our purpose. We learn our literature. We study our programs. And in that group, when we ordered our literature, I got my ODAT book, wonderful One Day at a Time book that the Al-Anons use. And let me tell you, AAs, you better get one and read it too. It's full of things you need to know. This book, yes, this is going to help you. But this is going to balance it out. It did for me. It has a lot of pages I don't want to hear. I don't want to know what's on them. But it's because I need to know them. And the main thing I needed to know, and I think I'll see a smile come on the face of every Al-Anon here. What I needed to know is on the page for July the 1st. That page says, the man I married cannot be the source of my happiness or sorrow. The gift of life is personally mine, as his life belongs to him. To enjoy or destroy, as each of us wishes. I am not his guide, master, or keeper. Being able to love without trying to interfere with or control anyone else, however close to me, is what I search for and can find in Al-Anon. The learning is sometimes painful, but the reward is life itself, rich, full, and serene. And with that page, out the window went all my ideas of the shiny knight, the dragons, the princess. That brought me to reality for the first time in my life. So, what are we like now? Is everything serene at our home? And we do have a home. We don't have a castle anymore. We don't even have a house. It's a home. Well, no, everything's not serene at our home. But you know, I found out it wasn't supposed to be. There is very little cursing. There's practically no screaming. And nobody has been arrested for a long, long time. But what is even better is nobody has needed to be. I have learned through some years of attendance, regular attendance at Al-Anon meetings, and in talking with you at conferences and conventions, that you Al-Anons aren't smug. I found out the things that I thought you knew that you wouldn't tell me. Because I found them out for myself. I wouldn't have listened if you had told them to me before. But I found out that no situation is too difficult to be overcome. No unhappiness is too great to be overcome if we take care of what's wrong with us first. The pamphlet that Eleanor was reading the preamble from, the pamphlet, This is Al-Anon, has a sentence in there. It was unbelievable to me, but it's true because it applies to me. It says, my happiness depends upon recognizing my own shortcomings. You see, I'm not supposed to control the world. I am not that perfect. Nobody is. There was one perfect person on this earth, and he's been gone for almost 2,000 years. We aren't supposed to be. We're supposed to recognize our mistakes, to make amends for the ones that hurt the others. Try not to make the same mistake again. Allow others to make a mistake. Give them the right to be wrong. Oh, my stars, there's just so much that I've learned. There is one thing I'd like to say. When I thought you Al-Anons were smug, I realize now it's because you simply did not know what to say to me, a woman alcoholic, when I came into the group. After all, I was going in that other room with your husband, and the door was closed to you. You didn't know really what went on in there. And I expect sometimes you were jealous. But I have seen you. If a 30-year-old man comes in to go into that AA group, you pat him and wish him well and shake his hand, give him a cup of coffee. I want to ask you, when that 40-year-old broad stumbles in after that young man, pat her, shake her hand, give her a cup of coffee, wish her well. That's all you need to do. She wants to know that somebody cares whether she's alive or dead. And I have to say this for the ones who were jealous of me or the other women. Honey, if you're having trouble with him, we don't want him. Man trouble is what sent most of us women AA anyway. And if we were hunting a man, you better believe we would be out at the highest class bar we could slink into with a borrowed mink, sitting on a bar stool, just a drinking a double and a feeling so single. We would not be in those bleak little overcrowded, over smoky rooms with a bunch of men who'd lost everything before they got there anyway, trying to get sober and trying to save our life. We would be out where the real swingers were. So please, to have some compassion for the women who come in. There are so many things in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous I did not grasp. I was not able to grasp until I got into Al-Anon. Al-Anon is my how-to on how to work the AA program. It really is. It simplifies so many things. I never knew in AA what let go, let God meant. I could not get it straight. I couldn't get it through my head. I didn't know how to work it. But when you say to me in Al-Anon, release with love, that is so simple. And it's the same thing. It's let go, let God. Anything that you hold on to, you're going to strangle, you're going to kill it. It can't live. Your love, your marriage, your anything. But I know you've heard it said, release what you love. If it comes back, it's yours. If it doesn't come back, it never was yours to start with. I want to thank the committee again. This has been and still is such a wonderful weekend. Everything has been just so great. It's so great for me to be a double winner. I love the AA, the Al-Anon, and the Alateen program. As far as I'm concerned, it's all one program, because it's all a program of living. But I want to say to you warm, wonderful people that you're the biggest part of my weekend. Because if you weren't here, there wouldn't be any roundup. There wouldn't be any conference. You know, the committee could have just done its very best and flown us in and put us in the beautiful suite and fed us the food and all this stuff. And we'd get up here to talk, and if the room were empty, it wouldn't get it. And that's why it's important for you to be here, and why I'm so happy that you will, that you are. I had told Papa Chuck I was going to talk barefooted this afternoon. You see, I've got these new shoes, and they hurt my feet. And he said, go ahead. And I know it would be all right if he said it was all right. But there's this again. I may be the first alcoholic Al-Anon, you ever saw. And I want you to want to see another one. My feet do hurt, and I am going to sit down there. Those of you who have been blessed by the chest fairy probably know what it is to stand up at one of these things anyway and try to see your watch and your notes and have your feet hurt. All right, Esther, you caught it. But I have one more thing to say. When I first came in, I wasn't coming to stay all this time. I was coming to get a little help with my drinking, and that was a little help with continuing to drink. I didn't think you were the sort of people I wanted to associate with. I wanted to borrow me and go get me one of those swingers. It was so hard for me after I knew I had to stay. It was hard to shake your hand. This is the handshakingest bunch I ever saw. And to walk in and shake somebody's hand. Now, I wanted to shake your hand. And I wanted you to pat me. But I didn't want to put on you the responsibility of touching me. I didn't like myself. I didn't feel worthy of anybody's attention. I didn't even ask anybody to be my sponsor because I thought, oh my God, nobody would want to waste any time on me. I'm so useless and I'm so worthless. And I felt dirty and ashamed. And when you'd say the Lord's Prayer, you'd want to hold hands. And oh, it was so wonderful to think about standing between two clean, beautiful people. But I didn't want you to have to hold my hands, so I'd stick them behind me, you see. Well, NAA, I did finally regain enough sense of self-worth that I would shake your hand and I would hold your hand to say the Lord's Prayer. But it wasn't until I got into Al-Anon that I would go ahead and hug and kiss somebody. You see, all this time, I'm wanting this love, this brotherly love, this human love. I want to kiss you and I want to hug you, but in AA I couldn't. I thought enough of myself to begin to live and all, but I just wasn't that clean yet. I wasn't that worthwhile yet. And you, Al-Anon, and your beautiful program have helped me so. That if you don't run like hell, I'll grab you and hug you and kiss you. This song that I used to love when I was younger, the name of it, September Song, and toward the end it says, the days dwindle down to a precious few, and these few precious days I spend with you. And that's the way I feel about all of you. My days have dwindled down to a very precious few. But I choose to spend them with you one day at a time in AA and Al-Anon and Alateen. Thank you. I love you.